Hi, this is Peter Bergman with a special leap year edition of Radio Free Oz, this being Wednesday, February 29th, 2011. Leap year means an election year. And I should know later on in the broadcast today what happened in Michigan. If not, we'll know tomorrow morning. You know, sometimes you need real context to figure out just how crazy and mixed up and stupid these GOP candidates are and some of the statements they make. Take Rick Santorum. Please. A couple days ago, he gets up and says, Obama's push for college education is a conspiracy to turn kids into liberals, and that people who go to college are snobs, and you don't have to go to college to be a welder or a truck driver or to do honest work. Well, first of all, he completely misquoted Obama. Obama said college was important. Even if it's 1 year technical school, he lumped them all into what he called higher education. But of course, Santorum wasn't listening with his tiny brain. You know, his extra small brain with his special Santorum catechism, which he keeps pretty much to himself until he starts blurting it out on the world stage and freaking out the GOP because they think he's going to bring the whole ticket down. We can only hope. Anyway, I was in San Francisco this weekend and went to the Book Fest at the JCC there. Gorgeous building. They brought in authors and critics from around the country to talk about literature, new literature, criticism of literature. And one of the seminars I went to was about, 150 people in the room. And the star was no other than Harold Bloom, America's greatest critic, one of its greatest literary minds. He's 81 years old now. I don't know if he's officially a professor at Yale still. Maybe he's emeritus, but I think he's teaching. In any case, he's been teaching for ever so long. And he came to us via video from New Haven, and the two other people on the stage were both of his students. Angus Fletcher, who is a fine literary critic and the man who is the editor of the New York Times Review of Books. And it was marvelous to hear them talk. And all the poetry that came flowing out of Bloom, who has this amazing memory. And they talked of Shakespeare, and they talked of the necessity for writers to join in general criticism, literary criticism, to bring a point of reference to literature, to bring other people in. And all of a sudden, he started talking about the GOP candidates, which he said only Dickens could have imagined. A Newt, a Mitt, a Ron, and a Rick. You know, right out of Uriah Heep, I thought, oh yeah, look at it. I was in the room with, and mainly I would say people over 55. Seems that people over 55 are more interested in classic literature, in the old codex. And they were asking him questions, and they were just having a wonderful time, and it was very bright. I didn't feel a scintilla of snobbery in the room. Of course, Santorum has perhaps a more finely tuned snobbery radar. In any case, it's awful when one of the two major candidates for the Republican nomination is so blatantly anti-intellectual. And GOP, you've got to face up to the fact that you've been pushing anti-intellectualism for a long time. It didn't start with Rick Santorum. It went through W. It went even with Nixon. It went through Reagan. The whole idea that you don't have to be smart to be an American. That idea of Reagan Democrats, you know, hard-working people who just want someone to respect them for who they are. Well, we'll hear a little bit later just how hard-working people in Detroit have come to respect Barack Obama. But in any way, there was no snobbery there. They were just people whose lives had been enriched by being brought into contact with great literature. So, Harold Bloom, God bless you. College graduates, people in community colleges, people in vocational colleges, autodidacts in back in the corner of the room teaching yourself, glory to you.
I believe very much that the Obama administration is the most anti-religious administration in history.
He's been one of the most ineffective presidents at the job at hand that I've ever seen.
In every possible way, the Obama administration is the most consistently anti-gun and anti-Second Amendment administration we have ever seen.
President Obama
is the most effective food stamp president in American history.
I believe this is the most dangerous president on national security grounds in American history.
This is a president who has put in place the most anti-jobs, anti-business, anti-growth agenda we've seen, well, since Jimmy Carter.
We think what Barack Obama is doing is the most secular anti-religious bigotry that we've ever seen in a president.
This is one of the most outrageous affronts to the First Amendments in the history of our country.
They don't like him, but that's not unusual. People running against another politician don't necessarily have to like him, but they don't have to hate him. They don't have to say terrible, untrue things about him. Why is Obama coming under such scurrilous attack? It's because he confuses them. They don't get it. He doesn't connect with them as a politician as they know it. Gingrich is an extraordinary opportunist, willing to say or do anything to get ahead. Yes, Obama knows how to take care of opportunities, but he is fair-minded, and he makes things go pretty much down the middle. Of course, with Santorum, he actually thinks that Obama is an agent of the devil. Nuff said. Mitt Romney, oh, what can I say? He's the worst president we've ever had. Now, there's an intelligent statement. There's a real intelligent statement from the Mitster. But you know, the Mitster's having a little trouble remembering. That's right. He's a little confused about Obama, about all the things he said that he's had to take back. And then there's that story he told of being with his dad on that special day in Detroit.
I think my dad had a job like being the grand master or whatever of the 50th celebration of the automobile in Detroit. They painted the Woodward Avenue with gold paint. And my memory's a little foggy here, but yeah, I was probably four or something like that. And had the cars go down Woodward Avenue. I know they still have the parade of cars every year.
What a heartwarming story. How picaresque. The young four-year-old Mitt with his dad, a popular auto executive president of American Motors, at the 50th anniversary of the inception of the car industry, and he remembers them painting the streets gold. It's a wonderful memory. Only one problem. He wasn't there. It happened 4 years before he was born. Now, you can't be that hard on Mitt. He's a busy man. He can't remember everything. He's already apologized for telling us that he was at Pearl Harbor and at Midway when we turned the Pacific campaign around on Iwo Jima and the signing of the surrender. All of the memories that I think were implanted in him in school, and he was so impressed with them that it became part of his own story. Well, that's all he's really got to push right now. Not much of a campaign, just a story. And he's up against Santorum, who has a story to tell. I am a working class Catholic Pennsylvanian. People believe in me. I have an industrial policy, etc., etc., etc. It doesn't matter, because they're up against the great, not me, the great one. Remember how we worried about Obama not being strong enough or progressive enough? Well, he talked with the UAW in Detroit yesterday, and it was a real barn burner. I'm going to play you a segment right now, a joy to your heart.
I've got to admit, it's been funny to watch some of these folks completely try to rewrite history now that you're back on your feet. The same folks who said, if we went forward with our plan to rescue Detroit, you can kiss the American automotive industry goodbye. Now they're saying, we were right all along. Or you've got folks saying, well, the real problem is what we really disagreed with was the workers. They all made it out like bandits. That the saving the auto industry was just about paying back the unions. Really? I mean, even by the standards of this town, that's a load of you know what. You know, you, about 700,000 retirees had to make sacrifices on their health care benefits that they had earned. A lot of you saw hours reduced or pay or wages scaled back. You gave up some of your rights as workers. Promises were made to you over the years that you gave up for the sake and survival of this industry, its workers, their families. Right. You want to talk about sacrifice? You made sacrifices. This wasn't an easy thing to do. Let me tell you, I keep on hearing these same folks talk about values all the time. You want to talk about values? Hard work, that's a value. Looking out for one another, that's a value. The idea that we're all in it together and I'm my brother's keeper and sister's keeper, that's a value.
I do know all about the perceived wisdom. I've been grown up in the perceived wisdom that politics is just cynical, that politicians will say anything they want to get a vote. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that's not Barack Obama. Yeah, I'm crying. I'm crying because how long have I waited for someone to say, hard work, that's a value. Looking out for one another, that's a value. We're all in it together, that's a value. I'm my brother's keeper and my sister's keeper, that's a value. That's precious. The hope of America lies on the shoulders of this man. He must be reelected, not because he's perfect, not because everything he does is right. I've reamed him a new perspective on a lot of things. But tant pis, the fact is, he really does care about me. Doesn't know me personally, but knows we're all in this together. If he's going to be his brother's keeper, that's me, my daughter, keeping care of sister. Yeah, that's a value. This man is going to romp in November. And if he doesn't, then America is doomed. Well, this is Peter Bergman on another bright note, hoping you'll be with us tomorrow. Why don't you come up and give me $3 a month for the show? I don't mind asking for a dime a day. I don't mind a handout. It's handout time. Pay it forward, and I'll pay it forward for you. Love you. See you tomorrow.